Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks to all of you for joining us here at St. James on Wabash. And thanks again to all of you who are joining us from Zoom. Pretty fantastic that many of you are able to join us from all over the place. We really appreciate you being here with us. Today we celebrate the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Getting close to the end of the Ordinary Time church year, in fact, and ready to move into a new one soon. As a reminder, for those of you who haven't visited us here in person, please take all the direction from the ushers as you move, as you're instructed to move only by them, and especially during communion. We encourage everybody at home to sing with a full voice, and unfortunately here in the church building, we ask that you just hum along through your masks. Please rise, we'll begin with sing a new song.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit, be with you. And what a blessing we can gather on this day. I just want to warn anyone who's new to Chicago, this last week is not what the winter's going to be like, just so you'll know. It's an anomaly, but we're certainly glad to have it. To remember the beauty of creation, that we have an extra week to celebrate. And we're going to be celebrating today God's presence in our midst as we hear the word and celebrate the sacrament of God. So let's place ourselves in God's presence. Ask the Lord to fill us with the gifts that we need this day, particularly the gift of grace and mercy. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, your Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy, forgive our sin, bring us to everlasting life.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to thee.
And let us pray that the Spirit of God will give us the strength we need in this pilgrim journey. Let us pray that Jesus, our brother, will sustain us with his teaching, his word, his life. And let us pray that God's love will motivate and empower us in difficult days. Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that, unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting by his gate. For taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence, and whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways and meets them with all solicitude. The word of the Lord.
My soul thirsts like thee. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven would be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise ones replied, no, there will be not enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves. While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in to the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he said in reply, Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you don't know either the day nor the hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
When I lived in Louisiana, everyone kept an eye on the Weather Channel. And whenever there was a hurricane in the Gulf, you ran out to the grocery store and bought toilet paper. You had to be ready. This year, 21 million guns are going to be sold. That's in addition to the 393 million guns which already exist in the United States, so that there is 1.25 guns for every man, woman, and child who lives in this country. Nobody knows exactly what's coming, but apparently we think we're going to need a gun when it does. Those of us of a certain age will remember bomb shelters. Do you remember this in the 60s? That there was this whole industry that they would go into your backyard and they build a bunker so that you could survive a nuclear attack. As if. So we as a culture, as a people, have this idea of being ready, of being prepared. It's part of what we do, what we think about ourselves. When a student knows an exam is coming, she'll prepare for it. She'll study for it. When you know that Thanksgiving is coming, you look in your cupboards and you find out if you have everything that you need. Where is that sage? It was just here last year. When winter is coming, you have your shovel and your de-icer and your furnace all ready. So be prepared is not just a Boy Scout motto. It's the way that we live. And it's the way Jesus wants us to live. As we hear in this parable today of the 10 virgins, Jesus wants us to be prepared. He says, keep awake. Or as he says in another place, watch. So there's something about being prepared, being ready. That's part of our responsibility as gospel people. Now, we know how to be ready for a storm. We know how to be ready for a meal. We know how to be ready for a nuclear war. Maybe not so much about that. Do we know how to be ready for God's future? And I'm not talking about the ultimate future. The end of time, what we call the second coming of Christ. Because Jesus gives us this instruction in the first coming. He tells us to be awake while he's still with us. So we are somehow or other supposed to be prepared to find God, to be in the presence of God today. Not just in the by and by. So what do we need to do? What kind of lamp do we have to enter into God's banquet? I'm thinking of railroads. If you ever go out in the country and you come to an at-grade crossing without a barrier gate that comes down, you'll have the little warning sign, the salt tire, which says on it, stop, look, listen. This is good advice, so you won't get smashed by a train. But I think that same idea is important for us. We have to stop, look, and listen if we're going to recognize the coming of God. We have to stop. Wait a minute. We've already stopped. What are you talking about? We've stopped hugging each other. We've stopped visiting one another. We've stopped going to movies and plays and concerts. Stopped going to church. We've stopped seeing our friends. We've stopped going out to dinner. What do you mean, stop? When we think about meeting God, it's not so much stopping any of these external things. It's we have to stop our minds from doing what I call stinking thinking. You know, stinking thinking happens when you say, this pandemic will never end. I'm going to be in this room forever and ever. Amen. Stinking thinking happens when you say, oh, I've done so many bad things in my life. I must be a terrible person. Stinking thinking happens when you say, well, no one called me today. That means nobody likes me. We have to stop that kind of thinking, because what it does, it blinds us to the fact that this is God's world, that God is in charge, that God knows what to do, that God is smarter than we are. Do you remember the children's book, The Little Engine That Could? I always love that story, because I think that image, I think I can. That's exactly what we have to remember at this time. It's how we get over our stinking thinking. And it's not so much that I think I can, but I know that God can. That's what we have to remember. That's the lamp that's going to light our way. So we have to stop, and then we have to look. We have to look at how reality actually is. You know, we have to look at the sky and find the stars and realize there are a trillion billion stars. That's 10 with 20 zeros after it. God's pretty good at creating. We have to look at nature. We have to look at the Arctic tern. The Arctic tern is a little small bird. It's about 13 inches from beak to tail, weighs 4 ounces. The Arctic tern every year flies from the Antarctic to the Arctic and then flies from the Arctic back to the Antarctic every year. Total of about 44,000 miles every year. And these are long-lived birds. They live 15, 20 years. So think of the frequent flyer miles that an Arctic tern has. We have to look at history. It was almost 4,000 years ago that a merchant in what is now Iraq left his homeland with his wife and went in response to God's call and changed from being Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah. And billions of people have been inspired to faith in both Judaism, Christianity, and Islam because of the history of this man and his wife. And we have to look at what it means to be a human being. Do you know, have you ever reflected on the fact that your heart beats 100,000 times a day, pumps 20 gallons of water, of blood through your body? Do the math on what that's like for a week, a year, a lifetime. When you look, you find this is a pretty wonderful creation that God has given us. And that's a lamp that can light our way. So we have to stop, we have to look, and we have to listen. Of course, the way that we listen is in prayer. We have to listen in prayer. We have to slow down. We have to quiet ourselves. We have to be still. We have to listen. But if you're anything like me, you're not very good at that. Now, we're real good at talking to God, telling God what we need, thanking God even. But we have to listen to God as well. And that's hard because it feels like nothing's happening. I'm waiting, God. You can speak to me anytime now. And so we feel like we're wasting our time, that what we're doing is useless, and we give up. But we have to listen. I'm reminded of the story of the carpenter took his apprentice out into the woods, and they came across an old oak tree. This tree was huge, gnarled, covered with moss. And the carpenter turned to his apprentice and he said, "Do you know why this tree is still here?" "No, I don't." "This tree is here because it is useless. If this tree had grown straight, I would have cut it down long ago and made tables and chairs out of it. But because this tree was gnarled, because it was useless, it got a chance to grow, to develop, to become this huge, beautiful place where we can sit and relax. Because it was useless, they could relax." And when we are feeling that our prayer is useless, when we are feeling that we're not going anywhere, we have to listen. Because although God doesn't come in my time, God always comes on time. So stop, look, listen, and find out how close our God is to us. Are we ready? We join together then in confessing our faith.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Because we have a good and gracious God, we can always turn to God in our needs. So we turn and present our prayers and petitions.
For the church, that in order to prepare ourselves for the end times, we may hasten our work to build up the kingdom of God in our midst, we pray to the Lord. For world leaders, that they may seek wisdom, resplendent and unfading, to guide their decisions and policies, making their nations and the world more just, more virtuous, and more peaceful, we pray to the Lord. That we may take to heart the wisdom of scientists who study the environment and prepare responsibly to keep life on our planet healthy and thriving, we pray to the Lord. For the women and men elected this past week to public office, that God may watch over them as they gradually assume their responsibilities, we pray to the Lord. That especially during this month of November, we may remember those who have gone before us and find comfort in our generous and merciful God, we pray to the Lord. For For those that have gone before us in faith, especially Deborah and Shirley Barker, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord. And for the prayers that we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in our book of prayers, and for all the needs of our parish and community, we pray to the Lord.
Hear all these prayers, Heavenly Father. We make them in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Let us pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. The Lord accept this sacrifice from our hands for the praise, the glory of God's name, for our good, the good of all the Holy Church. Nourished by this sacred gift, O Lord, look upon our sacrificial offerings, that celebrating the mystery of the passion of your Son, we may honor it with loving devotion through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just that we should give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Eternal God, for you do not cease to spur us on to possess a more abundant life. Being rich in mercy, you constantly offer pardon and call on sinners to trust in your forgiveness alone. Never did you turn away from us. And though time and again we have broken your covenant, you have bound the human family to yourself through Jesus, your Son, with a new bond of love so tight it can never be undone. Even now, you set before your people a time of grace and reconciliation. And as we turn back to you in spirit, grant us hope in Christ Jesus and a desire to be of service to all. While we entrust the Holy Spirit. And so filled with wonder, we extol the power of your love and proclaiming the joy of the kingdom at the salvation that comes from you, we join in the heavenly hymn of countless hosts as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and from the world's beginning are ceaselessly at work so that the human race might become holy just as you yourself are holy. Look, we pray upon your people's offerings. Pour out upon them the power of your Holy Spirit, and let them become the body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, in whom we too are your sons and daughters. Indeed, though once we were lost and could not approach you, you loved us with the greatest of love. For your Son, who alone is just, handed himself over to death and did not disdain to be nailed for our sake to the wood of the cross, but before his arms were outstretched between heaven and earth to become the lasting sign of your covenant, he desired to celebrate the Passover one last time in the company of his disciples. And as he ate with them, he took bread. And giving you thanks, he said a blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when the supper was ended, knowing he was about to reconcile all things to himself through his blood to be shed on the cross, he took the chalice, filled with the fruit of the vine. Once more giving you thanks, he handed the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of your Son, Jesus, who is our Passover and our surest peace, we celebrate his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And looking forward to his blessed coming, we offer you, who are our faithful and merciful God, this sacrificial victim who reconciles to yourself the human race. Look kindly, most compassionate Father, on those you unite to yourself by the sacrifice of your Son, and grant that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we partake of this one bread and this one chalice, we might be gathered into the one body of Christ who heals all division. Be pleased to keep us always in a communion of heart and mind with Pope Francis and Cardinal Blaise, and help us to work together for the coming of your kingdom until that hour when we stand before you, saints among the saints in the halls of heaven, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with her husband Saint Joseph, the blessed Apostle St. James, and all our deceased brothers and sisters, whom we humbly commend to your mercy. Then, freed at last from the wound of corruption, made fully into a new creation, we shall sing to you with gladness the thanksgiving hymn of Christ, who lives for all eternity, and who gives us every good gift. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you sent to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of Jesus be with you always.
Let us offer each other a sign of Christ's peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life. The prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
But then we became afraid without him. In the darkened room we stayed without him, waiting for the one he
Let us pray. Look with favor, O Lord, upon us. We give you thanks and beseech your mercy, that by the pouring forth of your Spirit, the grace of integrity may endure in those your heavenly power has entered. Through Christ our Lord. Today there's going to be a little kind of post-election reflection, and particularly it's a continuation of our discussion about race and the gospel response that we have to make to the situation of racism in our country. So look on the website, you can find the details. It's at 12:15. So the website can give you the links for that. And also, I'm going to do a little Bible study for Advent starting next week, not next week, the week after, on lament. We had that for our parish theme for our retreat. What does it mean to lament? What does the Bible tell us about lamenting? So how can we make lament part of our story and lift us up? How can you lament in a way that makes it good news? So that's what we want to wrestle with. The Lord be with you. God's blessing upon us all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.